بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Sensitivity and delicate nature of an article requires that that should be safeguarded and protected accordingly. The thing that is most valuable in a man's life is his life and the life of his dependents. Well-being, the life of his dependents or himself. For his well-being or the well-being of his dependents, he goes to any extent. Millions are spent just to see that he is well. The same applies to his dependents. He'll go on spending just to see that his dependents are well. But even more valuable than this is the value of iman. On the one side, it is the most priceless thing, and on the next, it is very, very discreet, very delicate. So it is valuable, but it is very, very delicate as well. So now, how do you take care of it? You know the value of it, and you know the delicate nature of iman, then how do you take care of it? In Dioban, in the old days, if a child had fasted for the day, for the first fast, there would be a big feast. Like how you have a khatam and there's a big feast after that, right? Jalsa, then there's a big feast. So if the child had fasted for the first day in his life, then they would have a big celebration, a big feast they would have. People are called and fed. And the wealthier and the greater the feast would be. Now, one of the wealthiest persons in Dioban, and his child, 5 years of age, and the first fast he's keeping. It's a long summer's day. And the roza goes to about 17 to 18 hours. Summer, child is 5 years, and the heat is going to 40, 45 degrees. And as it is just approaching Asr or Maghrib, the child's halat ghair ho rahi hai. The child can't manage it. Because, you know, the eyes are just turning, lips are drying, tongue is getting dried. The parents are worried. On the one side, we invited and hosted so many people, made a big feast here. And this child here, doesn't look like he'll pull through. What are we to do? If we ask him to break the fast, then what is the feast about? And if you continue with the feast, then what about him? Running helter-skelter, eventually they came across one Hakim. What do we do? Okay. So you understand, that preservation and protection protection requires a certain procedure. And the procedure is known by some, and some don't know the procedure. So, and different things have got different procedures. You don't apply the same procedure for everything. To safeguard the money, you know how to do it. To safeguard your property, you know how to do it. To look after your health, then you've got some important points what you must take care of. So now, the safeguarding of iman, what does it require? Now this child his tabiat is just dropping. So they pushed to go to the Hakim. So the Hakim gave them the same simple procedure. What you'll do? Get children around the age of this boy and give them all lemons, with a knife and let them squeeze it. As they cut and they slice that lemon, let them squeeze it in their mouth. So, like the Hakim had instructed, the lemons were sliced and they start squeezing it. When they start squeezing it, this child's mouth just watered. See, this lemon here, the smell, the lemon, and the mouth just watered. Mouth watered, and he became just a little bit relaxed. And just about 1.5 hours left now, Asr Maghrib, he pulled through. So if you're coming to Dioban now, they'll still show you that Hakim, where he was situated, it's about over 100 years ago, right? And this Nawab, whose child it was, he gave him so many more land just for him saving his child. But what I'm showing is, in order to save, what they had to do, see? It was a life, it was a roza, and they had to do some procedures, and they got it right. Now the question is about iman and virtue, and then you need to save that iman and virtue, then what do you do? Right. Musa alayhi salam is threatened for his life to his gone to Madian, right? فخرج منها خائفا يترقب قال ربي نجني من القوم الظالمين. Right. Isa alayhi salam is threatened for his life and but رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, Allah Ta'ala ascended him. Right? So he's ascended to the heavens. When life is endangered, then he's ascended. Sahaba Kiram living in Makkah Mukarramah became dangerous, became difficult. So they were allowed to go to Abyssinia, Habash. Right? And thereafter, they were commanded to leave Makkah Mukarramah and move on to Medina Munawwara. So when things became difficult, unbearable, unmanageable, they moved on. Ibrahim alayhi salam, and when he's threatened by his father, so his father tells him that أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, I will stone you to death. وَهَجُرْنِي مَلِيَا, just leave me. Get out from here. So he's forced. فَلَمَّا أَتَزَلُمْ, he left them. So you understand, for the safety of your iman and your well-being, you need to make a move. You can't just become complacent, all right, everything will just work out. To have that don't care attitude is wrong. Ibrahim alayhi salam did something for the protection of his iman. Musa alayhi salam did something. Isa alayhi salam was helped out. Nabi salam had instructed the Sahaba ikram. He himself moved away. All for what? For the safety and the well-being of the iman. Otherwise, if anyone played a double role, all right, no mind. You carry on, we will carry on, side by side, we'll carry on. Right? There wouldn't have been problems, but iman required a safety haven. For that safety haven, they had to move away. So nearly every Nabi now had to migrate, move away from here, go and settle there, go and do this. For what? If you look at it, for what was this done? For the security, for the peace, for the well-being of the iman. Right? And you apply the same rule for business, right? Like you hear about these small towns, Glencoe, Denhauser, and Colenso, all these right, small towns. And once upon a time, they were very, very active towns, very good business towns, right? Suppose the mines are closed, business dropped, so the people also scattered. Now, there's very few. تِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ لَمْ يُسْكَمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Few people are left. Remnants, right? Everybody scattered because the business dropped. So they're the same now. When the business dropped, so they moved for better pastures. As long as your iman is saved, then you remain. And then when the iman is endangered, then you look for better, safer havens, security, etc. So the idea is your iman. Now the principle is applied for business reasons. Business reasons or for your physical well-being. If your physical well-being is endangered, right? Now safety has become a problem, or material becomes a problem, then you move. But do you apply the same principle when your iman is risked? I ask you, how many people won't do that? If it is the business is not good, or the physical well-being is being threatened, how many people won't move? Then everybody will move. Physical well-being or business prospects, they move. They must move. There's no business. What must we do here? So the same principle, will they use it for iman, for the protection and the well-being of the iman. So like you've done it for yourself, you've done it for your property, then the same principle must be also applied for the well-being of the iman. Right. So nearly I'm showing all the Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and the Nabi salam, Sahaba kiram, all did that. الذين هاجروا في سبيل الله ثم قتلوا أو ماتوا. So all have done it. So now for the well-being of the iman, then what are we supposed to be doing? The iman becomes affected because of the wrong environment. Iman cannot thrive any longer. Environment is wrong. So the iman can't thrive. Right. That Saba was a very, very prosperous area, very prosperous. They say it's so prosperous that the person traveling from one end to the other end, about over 100 kilometers, then he didn't need to take any provisions. So prosperous. So much of fruit and vegetation. Anyway, you stop over, right? Then there's ample food, ample things for you to eat. So much, they've got so much. So every traveler was taken care of. Right. But then, أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْأَرِيمِ. When the flood broke out, then they had to move away. Safety again. There's no safety here now. So what's the point in staying here? We can't stay here now. Before we were safe, now we're not safe, so let's move away. Like you hear the history of the Ansar of Medina Munawara. They're all coming from Yemen. Nearly all the Ansar from Medina originate from Yemen. And they came and settled here after that problem that took place there. So when an iman cannot be safe any longer, then what are we supposed to be doing? So the first thing is that we move away to a safer haven, place where it's safe, we practice it. Now, what would we call a safe place? A safe place will be that place where there's encouragement, you can hear azan, people are going for namaz. So it must be safe for four levels. One is for the male adults, right? It will be safe for them. So this namaz activity, if you are slipping up, someone is reminding you, and you see the area, if you are lazy also, you don't fall further down. Rather, your spirits will be picked up. So there is a safety and a good place for adults, men. But society is not only revolving around males, you need to have some for woman as well. If you've done everything for yourself, but nothing for woman, then she'll be influenced by the surrounding. This kala there, and that bin there, and the other apa on that side, and they're dressing up in this way and that way. You will hold on for some days, and after that you'll change. So there must be some safety and security measures for those women that are around there. So you look for yourself. Number two is, what about the woman? That society is not complete without woman. It has to have woman. So if you looked for your safety, then the safety of the woman. So how to make that safe? Then at the third level, then it will be those boys that are coming up of age. See, they finished about 12, 13, now they're coming into the maturity, boys and girls. So what safety environment, surroundings you got for them? You understand now they are growing up and they can't be living in isolation, they can't be locked up in their homes and rooms. They'll want to move out. Boys want to move out. Girls, they'll want their company. Right? So what security, what safety have you arranged for them? Right? Say, no, they stay in the home, they won't manage it. If you tell the boys, they stay in the home, don't move out, they won't manage it. Don't go to school, all right. Maybe 2% will manage not going to school. 98%, what happened to them? Don't go to university, maybe 5% won't go, 10% won't go, 90%, what will happen to them? So now, those boys that are coming up of age, over 12 now, from 12 to 20, whatever, what arrangements have you made for them? See, so that's the third figure that you have to make when you're fathered or mothered a child. Now there's a third figure you have to make. Right? Think of yourself, when you were that age, 10, 11, 12, and they ask you to stay at home, would you have managed? And you know, but all the action, all the wrongs start off at that age. 11, 12, 13, you want to go and explore, adventure, do all things. It starts off at that age. Right? So, that's when you're 12, right? The children of that age. Then, the three groups have been. You have thought about the three groups. Then the little children that are coming up, 5, 6 years of age, what are you going to do for them? You need to have some type of a basic primary education for them. And that education and that mahol must be conducive for the child. Just leave him in a nursery, just leave him in a primary school, will that be the solution for the child? Now you're wondering that where this child is learning some bad ideas, where is learning? Then one day you must go to the nursery, see what's happening there. From the time it starts till it ends, we'll see what happens. 85-90% of the women that are coming to drop the children, they themselves don't have any Islam. Their clothing is such, everything is revealing. They're driving their cars, they're coming in, walking, and immodestly, they don't have any concern about parda, deen, anything. And you say, no, I'm only going for the education. But the child is observing. Isn't the child observing? Everything what is going on, he is registering. So if the child is asking, if that was wrong, then why my father sent me here? His mind is asking, maybe he doesn't have the courage to ask. But if his mind is telling it was very bad, my parents wouldn't have left me here. So if it's wrong, maybe it's a small thing, you know, it's a small thing, we can overlook it. Not as very serious thing. So that's how the child's mind is working. That is not a very serious thing, maybe it's wrong, but not it's not so bad. Right. I was drinking water and I spilled it. So it's a small mistake, they won't make a big noise about it. They'll teach you don't spill, and do things rightly, but if you made a small mistake, they won't shout you. Right? So the child will think in the same vein that if it was a very serious thing, then they would have not sent me here. So why did they send me? Because it's not so serious. Right? So he's being nurtured in this type of an environment, primary, the first encounter with education, and no parda, free for everybody. Some nursery got pictures, but if they don't have pictures, then they're immodest. Right? If that's also all right, then they're talking about some television show, what they've seen the previous day. So this is the type of environment that the child is dropped to go and learn, primary education. Right? Now you want the child to come out like a wali, and you dropped him in this type of environment. And then you want to know why is he picking up all these habits. So I ask you, is that parent also responsible for the misdoings of the child or not? Misbehavior of the child, is the parent responsible or not? So that's the fourth level of fikr you need to make. Really for the adult men, adult woman, the child that is growing up over 12, what type of environment he requires, then the child that is 5-6 years of age, what he requires, right? Then, after everything is said and done, you got these four levels, right? Then you need a person directing you, advising you, and checking on you all the time. See? So, just these four levels is not sufficient, but you need someone to keep directing you. All right, this is not right. Do it like this. Correct yourself. Do it like this. Don't do it like this. Do it like this. Call it alim, call it a sheikh, call it a buzurg, whatever. But there must be someone that's on your case to see that you are on cause. There must be on your case to see that you are on cause all the time. Right? Now, if it's not, there's not nobody on your case, then you just left, or you got these things right, but then there's nobody working on your case, what's going to happen? So you need someone senior that is even stronger to drag you along, to push you along, to guide you along, to encourage you. So this five level of fikr is required for a healthy, vibrant Islamic community. Now, the question that you'll ask, all right, for this type of a healthy, vibrant Islamic community, where on earth you'll find it? Where you'll find it? That's a question that any person will ask, right? So you can't just ignore this, saying that you can't find this environment. So let's not go that way, right? See, everybody's fikr is physical safety. Physically, I'm safe, so it's all right. But all these four or five things that need to be attended to, and they are not safe, then are we concerned about it? Nobody's concerned about it. If somebody's concerned, it's physical, right? And physical also, it just those things that upsets people. For example, burglary, right? There mustn't be burglary around. Or there mustn't be drugging around, right? So these are the two things, theft and drugging. Right? But if there's illicit behavior, clothing, it's all right, it is very safe here. Look after your eyes, but it's very safe. You may be old, right? 75, 80, but your children now, they're seeing all this. All these kachras all coming up, rags. Can you see that they are not going to be attracted? There's going to be a problem for them. So you looked after one thing and the other thing you ignored. Right? If the clothing is not a serious problem, then they are in your vicinity, you'll find some Satanists living there. You're talking about a little bit of affluent, not too affluent, but a little affluent. You'll find a Satanist living around. If you don't find a Satanist, then you'll find a gay living around there. So you're going to have these things here. And you cannot say that your child will not be exposed to these things. So what are you supposed to be doing? Understand? So if there is not one danger, there is another danger. Just the difference is, one danger people recognize. Dakha, you recognize, right? Although now it's legal. Isn't it legal? Huh? In here. Yeah, dakha is legal now. You can take how much? Ganja. Khaja ke darbar pe. How much you can pay? Legal now. So that ganja becomes a serious thing, but if somebody is gaying, is all right. Somebody is sick to disease, is all right. Because it doesn't look so bad. But the ganja, yeah, I don't want those things here. This thing is all right. So discriminating like this, really, it's a problem. That the child is watching, all right, ganja is a problem, but this thing is all right, Satanist, gaying, a little bit girling, a little bit, all right, it's all right. But that is bad. This is all right. So the child is watching from your response, your behavior. I think yesterday's email, so one lady is complaining now from Johannesburg that her daughter had eloped. Now, I know the families, they're quite wealthy, right? Very, very wealthy. Not wealthy, very wealthy. From the description that I know the family, where they're coming from, more or less. So she's complaining that her daughter, perhaps maybe about 19, 20 years of age, so she's eloped someone, wherever, right? Now, please make a plan. Talk to the boy, because she knows that I know the person, right? Send him back. They made nikah, but now send her back, and then after Ramzan, we'll send the girl back. But she's crying now. How can my daughter elope like this and whatever else? But in the same letter she writes, that girl, that woman is writing, but they were playing, my daughter was interested in this boy for the last 9 years. When she was about 10, 11 years of age till now. So that means she was comfortable with the daughter playing around for the 9 years. Now that they married and she eloped, now that's hurting her. See, what's hurting her is her naak kat gaya wat. Izzat khatam ho gayi. Shariat jo khatam ho gayi thi, usse usko koi asar nahi hua. 9 years they were playing around, the shariat was being all trampled, she was not concerned about it. But now, how could she do this? You know, my izzat, she can stand out of the house. You know the hadith of Jibreel salam, Allah Pak's curse. So see, everybody comes just to suit you. But you are breaking the shariat for the 9 years, then hadith Jibreel didn't come. Now that Mimbar Hadith came in now, see that? So to the convenience, every Hadith and every deeny thing comes to your convenience. It will just suit you. For 9 years they were playing around. She says she knows, she knew about it. But, now, but how could they just run away like that? Let's come back. See? So you see the selective Islam, convenience Islam. This is that Islam that we are talking of today. And this is what I showed you what we need to work towards. And this is the convenient Islam that we are in today. So now, the obvious question will be now, then what is the solution? We understood the problem, right? We understood what is the true ideal Islam. We understood that. But now, what is the solution? How do we get there? How do we come there? So the only solution I can think of nowadays is why there mustn't be a day that you're not concerned, what must I do for these five figures? You are the concern, and the concern must be genuine. Sometimes there's a concern, but the concern is very mild. You know, mind me if I say, it's like the morning mashwara, right? Okay, for the morning mashwara, sat around 5 minutes, right? Carry on. So it's a mild figure that. You didn't take it seriously. Serious mashwara like this, you know, I bought 10 tons of chicken, right? One of the things, not selling, what does it do? 10 tons of chicken, I bought 2 million rand, I bought chicken. Well, it's not selling, what does it do? So you take it like the morning mashwara. Ask you, what will happen? 2 million rand, you go to the deep freeze, or you hired a deep freeze, the thing is that you're paying storage for it. What happened to you? But that way, you won't sleep. They said 2 million rand, you know the value for it. But these five figures that I'm talking about, you don't have a figure for it. So it's just like a morning motion. Right, hey, we did our figure, huh? The morning figure we have done. I don't say that must be left out now, that'll be worse now. At least someone is taking a couple of baby steps, we applaud him for that. But that baby step is a baby step. It will take a lot of time. The actual thing that will take the time will bring the solution is that figure. Like the, imagine all the 2 tons you got of chicken all stored up, and it's all you're paying, you're renting the space out. You don't take it lightly. Neen sab khatam ho jayega, haram ho jayega. This thing, phoning Joburg here, buy, you know, this chicken here, I'll give you a special price, man. Can't you? You will make a plan, get the thing out of the way. Fikr comes, you'll do something. So the same figure has to be applied to get these five departments right. Then you can say, inshallah, that you work towards a safety haven. So as you are moving in life, you're finding the place becoming safer and safer, number one. Now your children are coming up. As they're coming up, then they're finding a safety haven. They can breathe Islam. They can sense Islam, they can breathe Islam, they can see Islam. You don't have to tell them much about Islam. Aisha, you know, she says, you know that hadith of Hijrat? She says something, some word, I can't remember the exact word. مَا شَأُرْتُ أَبَوَيَّ إِلَّا وَهُمْ يَدِينَانِ. You know that word? إِلَّا وَهُمْ يَدِينَانِ. When I came up now, she must have been, because she's talking about before Hijrat. So she must have been about 6 years of age. So I saw my parents, they were practicing deen. So at that young age, she made out that the house was something else. مَا شَعُرْتُ أَبَوَيَّ إِلَّا وَهُمْ يَدِينَانِ. They are practicing deen. So from the young age, she made out that this was the environment, the ambience of the house. She knew it exactly. Otherwise she wouldn't have said these words. So that means in your limited capacity, what you can do, these five figures have to be done. Whichever way you look at it, figure for yourself, figure for your woman, right? Figure for those children that are coming to adolescence, right? From the 10, 11 years of age, figure for that young child that is coming up, right? And figure for someone to keep reminding you. Like now, today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I reminded you of this perspective. This thing occurred to you before. So if someone doesn't remind you, will it ever occur to you? These are the five things you have to... And are these facts or not facts? They're genuine facts. You're not going to worry about it. Tomorrow that child will wear this type of a dress. That girl is going to wear something else. You're going to write big articles, the immodesty and all that. But by you saw this thing happening, going in that direction, what did you do? You saw it. When you saw it going in that direction, then you let it go. Now that it hit the roof now you want to make a noise. Now it's too late because that the taste of that modernism, the taste of that illicit behavior has gone deep into the heart. Ushribu fi qulubihim. It's gone deep. When it's gone deep now, so to remove it, to purge it out, is it easy? It's very difficult. So the right thing is now, just now, Mawlana Hassan will become father, then Mawlana Hussein will become father. But as you're coming that age, I tell all these youngsters, but the masti is until the first month of marriage. Second month of marriage, now you're going to become father, right? Inshallah, right? Allah bakmi, you are good fathers, good children. After you understood that you're becoming father, then the masti, right? We had a little bit of playing and all that, running around, catching game and hide and seek, all that. Now, let's get to some work. You can't carry on making masti then. Don't do any fun, but the fun is fun and work is work. Fun is, you had, see how in the school, right? You go, how many hours? 7.5 hours, huh? 8 to about 2, isn't it? Yeah? 12, about 6, 7 hours, right? So in that they give you fun time, about half an hour, right? Don't they give you fun time, half an hour? That 7 hours then is work. They see that you do the work. So similarly now, in the home, all right, have some fun, half an hour, 1 hour maximum, give double the time in the school, right? But now the rest of the time, now do some work. Make this fikr. What do we do for this? And the fikr won't just come overnight. You have to share the fikr, you see. Now we are parents, right? We have to father these children, to mother the children. Today we are 20, 22, 23. Yeah? Hussein, what your age? 22? 23, yeah. And before we know it, we are already 40, 45, and the children will be 20, right? So it's going to be two things. One is this, that child is amanat in our hands only for 18, 19 years, right? Then she has to move or he has to move, doesn't it? So our amanat are we fulfilling? You know, the Sahaba Kiram said, one of them, Addaital Amana. That child was saved by Addaital Amana. You had an amanat and you fulfilled your amanat. You did what you're supposed to be doing. He must say it. You work for him so much. So that when he comes of his age, where he is going to be independent of you, then he must say, Abi Addaital Amana. Wa nasahtani. And you thought for my well-being. The child must say it. So that's the one thing that you must keep in mind, that the child is only for that short period, right? The second thing you have to understand is that child will portray whatever you put into him, whatever you package into him, in this short period, this is what he's going to show. So how much you have to work? Within the house, the child, everything, you have to work. So now, look at a normal, average class Muslim practicing, right? So the child is made to wear funky, what? Funky or funky clothes? Kya kehte? Eh? Funky clothes. Yeah. I hear from all the young ones, I hear all these new words. Funky clothes, right? Funky clothes, that shirt, the sleeve is not right. Dress is coming up, it's like a t-shirt. Girl is wearing a t-shirt. Pink colors and all that to show that it's a feminine dress, tight clothing. So the child is wondering now, hey, but all these things is permissible. If it's not permissible, then why am I made to wear it? But next door, Mr. John is living, and that side, Mr. Amki is living. They're all wearing the same clothes, funky clothes. So that means for a certain age, it's all right. Mr. Amki can wear it, Mr. John can wear it, Mr. Pillai can wear it. See, his mind is working. So what his mind is telling him? His mind is telling him that when I'm wearing it, and Mr. Amki is wearing it, Mr. John wearing it, Mr. Pillai wearing it, so for a certain age, everything is kulun, yajuz, everything is permissible. See, so now that happens when there's nobody to guide. So the child is thinking that if it was wrong, then my parents would have made me wear this. It's permissible, therefore they make me wear it. So we can imitate their clothing, they can imitate our clothing, it's all right. Everything is right. So you see this five level of fikr must be done diligently, seriously, religiously. So now, then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, you find an environment. If you take your business seriously, and I must sleep with my business, get up with my business, Saturday, Sunday, I must make fikr about the thing, right? How is it running? Is it right? The structure right? That structure right? Am I doing the right maneuvers, wrong maneuvers, pricing it well, profits, return? So you make fikr. I ask you, 9 out of 10, how will that business work? Will prosper, isn't it? Though you know that the giver is Allah Ta'ala, but you put so much of effort on that business, that 9 out of 10, the thing will work. Put that fikr, Saturday, Sunday, nights, mornings, looking for offers here, there. Right? So you see the thing must be vibrant, must be working. So neither term, you're putting your mind, your heart, your soul, everything into it, then nothing will work. Right? Though you know and you believe that the doer is Allah Ta'ala. So the same usul will apply here, that when you put your mind, your soul and your heart, it'll work. Your mind is all, you know, we need to get so much of money so that we can go for a holiday. Let's go to Berg's. Why? My auntie is there. Hussein, auntie is there. Go to the Berg's. Why do you have a holiday, stay with Sila Rahimi ho jayegi? Pick all that tawil and do it. But I ask you then, will you get Islam? Will you get an environment? If you have this in mind, will you get the thing running? So this must be taken like that. I say that tons of meat that you've got in storage, right? And that is not selling. And how restless it makes you. Makes you restless. Hey, I must get this thing, get this thing. Anyway, you're meeting anybody, any friend, you know, what can we do about this? How can we sort this thing out? Can you help me out? Give me some ideas. You know, what can we do? I got stuck with this thing here now. But you will be so panicky until that thing is out of the system. So this is that level of fikr that one needs. See, Hazrat Maulana Taymiyyah has khanqah like this. The khanqah was, as the person steps in the khanqah, Maulana injects him with fikr. That's the first thing. See, because you got that fikr injection, that thing will activate you. But you came there, befikr, you just come, relax, sleep, eat, drink, 3 days are finished and you're going. So did you go with anything? But he gave you that fikr injection, now you, as though you you self-charged. When you self-charged, now your mind is telling you, do this, don't do this, go here, don't do this thing here. So make intention, what? Make intention for this five fikr, how we're going to start it off. Hazrat Ahmed used to talk about these things. They say, by going in your cubicle and think, that we got these problems here, these weaknesses, how do we rectify? What can we do? Speak to the spouse, get ideas from them, let them cooperate, don't be aggressive, don't be impolite, don't be pushing, don't be harsh, don't come like a ton of bricks. Like if someone was coming like a ton of bricks over you, you wouldn't have liked it as well. So you need the full cooperation. But how are you going to do it? Ask, talk, discuss, think. You got them in the right mood, right time. And you need to get them in the right time and get some ice cream at least. You make the ice cream yourself. Or give them a cappuccino or something, some coffee or something. Right? With the froth on the top. So you got them in a good mood. When you got them in a good mood, now you can talk. So non-aggressive, not being impolite, soft, sweet, you'll get things working. But just that the approach must be right, nice. Allah Bakhtofi Nasib Kare.